Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
More than a half year's salary worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have even a little bit. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "The youth here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that for a crowd like this?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There is plenty of grass there." They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he distributed to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. When they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves that had been left over by those who had eaten. People saw he had done a miraculous sign and said this was truly a prophet coming into the world. Jesus understood that they were about to come and force him to be their king. They took refuge again alone on the mountain. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake. They got in the boat and were crossing the lake to Capernaum. It was already getting dark and Jesus hadn't come to them yet. The water was getting rough because the strong wind was blowing. When the wind had driven them out for about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water. He was approaching the boat, and they were afraid. He said to them, "I am. Don't be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and just then the boat reached the land where they had been heading. The next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the lake realized that only one boat had been there. They knew Jesus hadn't gone with his disciples, but that the disciples had gone alone. Some boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread over which the Lord had given thanks. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks to be God. Amen.
Some of my favorite memories, some of the most profound circumstances where I find myself, have a tendency to take place around a table. Generally, a physical table, but not always. The last remaining memory, real, it's not a photograph or a video, the last remaining memory. After she died, there was a family in our church who said, "You should come to our house for Thanksgiving." And we were the only family, and it became a tradition for well over a decade of gatherings for Thanksgiving, sometimes Easter, around these tables to share a meal. Now, generally, we had to have more than one table because there were a lot of us. There were always in the tombs. And we did it often enough that we knew who would always bring the mashed potatoes. We knew who would always bring the incredible raisin sauce. We knew who at least every 3 years would like the mashed potatoes on top of the candy hands on fire. told you before about my experience of Project Link, the weekly meal that takes place every week continually at the Pacific Beach Church. And especially before COVID sort of changed their practices, the way 100 people would be gathered in a room among various sort of levels of socioeconomic status. Back to those so many people who I would never have known, simply by sitting down, interacting with my children, and sharing the meal with a person who experiences this world so much differently than I do. It's life-changing and incredible. When I was ordained in 2016, full ordination at the commission that happened. After every ordination service, of course, the bishop presides over the Holy Communion, and then all those who have been commissioned and ordained serve Holy Communion. But it was actually sort of a funny circumstance because someone decided, well, we want to make sure that all are included in Holy Communion. We do a similar thing. They made all of the bread gluten free, which is fun, which is lovely. Everyone gets to have the same thing, and we have to go on to a separate station. The mistake they made was they put that gluten-free bread in the freezer before brought it out. And I don't know if it's all gluten-free bread or just this kind of bread, but you take this kind of gluten-free bread and you put it in the freezer and then you thaw it out, boys are crumbly. We may have filled 12 boxes just with the crumbs that had to be cleaned up off the floor. But what an incredible experience that first time in a four-year-old pastor having achieved this goal that I knew God had told me to, and being able to serve Holy Communion alongside Taylor's birth. And we just missed it. I was at my home, and it was just a couple of hours before my sister's wedding, and her husband to be, and her father-in-law to be, and they were sitting around the table, and I was there too. He will tell you that he is not any different. But the three of us all got out of the house and just talked to me about it and put me to bed. It was profound and beautiful. And then last night, after a beautiful and small wedding at the beach, we all sat together with family around a table and a secret. And we celebrated together and we laughed together. And of course, the most life-changing thing for me in my life is camping ministry. And one of the things that I have noticed and observed, and I'm sure I've talked about it before, is when you get, 60 or 80 or 100 kids together at a camp, and on that first day, everybody's nervous about talking to each other on the table. Until you gather for that first meal around the table. And even if the first words that are said to someone who you don't know are even to be talked to Kevin, and the table talks, community forms around the table.
And in all these experiences, I wonder if it's universal, at least it certainly is in my life, community forms around the table. We get to be in community and be in conversation beyond our political ideas or what we think is the right way to be church or our favorite football team or baseball team. Anyway, but we get to be in that sense of friendship and community beyond just ourselves. And one of the very first in-person wonderful experiences I was able to participate in with some of you here was that small group of us that I had been on for a year ago. And I had to do it. Community happens around the table so often. And so how wonderful it is that our text today, when we talk about gratitude and giving thanks, is a story about gathering together. This is the only miracle story that's in all four of the Gospels, the only one. And in three of them, it's tied to the story of walking water. I confess to you that I'm going to focus more on the story of bread and fish. is a story that has some differences between the Gospels. Really, the truest translation of the Gospel of John, when it talks about those 5,000 people, it was really 5,000 men, which echoes, I believe, it's the Gospel of Luke, he said, there's 5,000 men, plus women and children. Can you imagine a crowd that size? Wouldn't it be nice to have 5,000 people in the when you have to build a bigger church? Can you imagine a crowd that size? And it's lunchtime. And I don't know if you're one of those people who gets a little grumpy when you're hungry. I know a lot of people that way. And that's sort of spirit in the environment. And the disciples wisely says, we gotta do something. And Jesus knowing what's coming. And Philip, where will we buy food to feed these people? It's pretty interesting if you look at the way John and Paul are responding to this. Jesus asked where. And Philip responds with how much. What do you think he answers? Where will we buy food? Does it have to read ahead, even beyond what Cyrus said he would be real thing, even beyond what Cyrus said? Jesus, in the Gospel of John, others know this. Wonderful story of Philip Brackett, but Jesus says, where are we going to do this? Where are we going to find this food? And where did that Brackett be? I am the bread of life. And where did I find this? Where? Where are we going to get the food? And where did he do this? Another sort of translation difference in the story is it says, how do people sit down? There's plenty of grasses. They sat down about 5,000 of them, took the bread when he gets back, he distributed to those who were sitting there. One way to translate some of that Greek in terms of those who were sitting there is to those who were gathered, the implication being. Christian author by the name of Diane Butler Bass, who I have the privilege of seeing in person at a clergy event, this was about 67 years ago. And her focus during several days of conversation was that the job of the church could be to constantly make Christ's table bigger for the poor man. As soon as we say, well, this table is for this group over here, but not for that group over there. If you're someone like a man of faith, you can suggest that Christ's table is for all persons. Otherwise, are we echoing that it's just for the 5,000 men to say nothing of the women and children? To move those persons on top of it. Or can we say that Christ's table is for all people? And we echo John the Baptist. If he told the kingdom of Christ, and the echo Peter and Paul, who sometimes disagreed, but I ultimately got to the same place, to say, yes, even Gentiles can come to the table of Christ. All things, to see the salvation of God, Christ's table is for all people. So Christ takes a few morsels, and let that come to the big one. And all of us, those who needed something, and maybe they were too hungry to know what they needed, all of those who needed something received what they needed. Given the blood of life. And what I find interesting, I find that interesting, that's wonderful, and also what I find interesting. If the people's response, they received sustenance, they received what they needed, and then they saw the one who was given power. We we know in the story, I said I wasn't going to talk too much about this, but that's cool. We know in the story that the disciples leave on a boat. Nobody quite sure where Jesus is. He brought up to the mountain. But then he just comes walking on the water. But it's interesting to me, it doesn't seem from the reading of John that the people had any idea what happened. They didn't have any idea about Jesus walking on the water. What they knew is that the disciples left, Jesus wasn't with them, they weren't sure where Jesus was. And so where did they go? The next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the lake realized that only one boat had been there. They knew Jesus hadn't gone with his disciples, but that the disciples had gone alone. Some boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread over which the Lord had given them. Continue reading after the place where Cyrus comes. They find Jesus. And he tells them that he is the bread of life. I wonder how we can connect these things. If we remember that Christ is the bread of life, such that there is quite a bit left over, and you remember how much is left over, how many baskets. Interesting how that number comes up so much in the Gospels. I wonder if we might look at this with an understanding that there are 12 baskets left over. How many disciples are there? 12. And I wonder if we might take this as a reminder that as Christ gave and there is plenty left over, that we are called to carry those 12 baskets of the bread of life into the world. Because the people are looking for. The people are in need. The people have hope. And we might be those disciples who can bring that bread of life to the people who think for something that they may not even be able to do. It's all connected with good sense. Trust your sense. And so many are able to be sustained. Every single month, we gather